In the religious denominational world around us, there is a popular teaching tool called the Roman Road to Salvation. And it is used to teach individuals how to be saved from sin. The Roman Road to Salvation. If you've not seen this particular teaching tool, I'm going to show you a few examples in just a moment. But I've seen it different places. One of the popular ways in which it shows up is in a tract form. I've seen it as a tract maybe laid out at a doctor's office or a nursing home or some place where there's a little table and there might be some religious tracts there. The Roman Road to Salvation. And it's a very popular teaching tool. I want to review that this morning, and we're going to stay primarily in the book of Romans this morning. And we're going to begin with our scripture reading, and we're going to look at this popular teaching tool, and we're going to compare it to what we read in the book of Romans. Paul, in the book of Romans, presents a roadmap, if you will, to salvation. But we're going to learn this morning the importance of going all the way down that road. In the religious world around us, some want to go partly down that road, but we need to learn to go all the way down that road. If we were going from here to Atlanta, Georgia on I-24, going down to Chattanooga and then making the change there and going on down to Atlanta, we would need to go all the way to Atlanta. We would not need to stop short of that if we wanted to go to Atlanta. We would go all the way. That just makes sense. We would not stop in Nashville or Murfreesboro or Chattanooga and say, well, we've gotten to Atlanta. We would go all the way. Paul is going to give us that roadmap in the book of Romans on how to be saved in Christ. But we've got to learn to go all the way down that road. Now, as I mentioned, I want to begin this morning by giving you a few examples. You can just Google the Roman Road to Salvation, and you will see images like this. For example, this is a popular one. And you'll see in the upper left-hand corner, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. 5:12, 6:23, the wages of sin is death. 5:8, 10, 9, and 10, confess with your mouth. 10:13, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. 10:17, faith comes by hearing. This is a particular little flyer that is passed out by churches. Some of the more popular ones that use this teaching method are Baptist churches and community churches or non-denominational churches. The big Life Point church here in town would use this type of teaching tool, and many Baptist churches will use this type of teaching tool. And it's basically a flyer or a tract. I've seen it as a bookmark. I've seen it as a little pamphlet where these verses out of Romans are mentioned and the statement is made, are you on the Roman road to salvation? And there's nothing wrong with the verses. The verses are not inaccurate. They're not twisted or distorted in any way. They come straight out of the book of Romans. Here's another example, the Romans road of Scripture. Again, some of the similar ones. Sometimes you will see five passages mentioned. Sometimes you will see seven passages mentioned. And the point of the lesson this morning is not the number of passages. Don't be misled by that. It doesn't matter how many passages are on the illustration. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's seven. But the point is that these are passages from the book of Romans that teach you how to be saved. And so the Roman road to salvation. Again, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Many of them focus on or end with Romans 10:13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's another example, the Roman road. just about the same seven passages mentioned. Here's another example where the scripture is not quoted, but a short statement about that scripture is made. We're all sinners. We receive eternal life as a free gift. God demonstrated His love. We must trust and surrender to Jesus. Our assurance of salvation is through Jesus. Here's another example. Here's another example. This has five steps instead of seven. But again, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us. We must confess Christ and it will result in salvation. Romans 5:1, we're justified by faith. Again, the Romans road. Notice up at the top of this one, the plan of salvation through faith in Christ. So this is the plan of salvation. This is it. It's on this little flyer. It's on this little track or this bookmark. And if you do these things, you'll be saved. Here is one that's written more for the young people, maybe the teenagers, and it's a little bit more cartoonish in nature. But again, it starts off with all have sinned, or there is none righteous, Romans 3:10. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Jesus died for us, Romans 5:8. God allows a U-turn. Notice they're using some expressions dealing with driving on the road. And that's a little bit of a variety on this particular one. And then we need to make the right turn, Romans 10:9. We need to believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. So this is a particular one. The Romans road to salvation. Again, I've seen this before. Wherever tracts are passed out, again, doctor's office or somewhere, someone might leave a tract called the Romans road to salvation. You get the idea by looking at, and we're going to use this one as our example this morning and moving further, that you get the idea that it basically says you're in sin, and that you can get out of that sin by confessing your faith in Christ. The Romans road to salvation. We're going to see that what the Apostle Paul writes is this very thing. But he adds to it. And just before we go any farther, I want us to understand that that is often the case in the religious world, where they will mention some things in God's Word, but they won't mention all of what is in God's Word. We're going to talk this evening, Lord willing, if we have an opportunity to come back, about the Pharisees. And it reminds me of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. These ought you to have done, Jesus said, but not left the other undone. They would focus on some things in God's Word, but they would leave other things undone. And so some people will write the Romans road to salvation and they'll focus on Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin of death. Romans 10:9-10, confess Jesus, and then you're saved. Well, all of those are things that must be done and understood, but they've left some other things undone. So this morning, let's look at this Romans road to salvation. And what we're going to do this morning is three things. First of all, because this is a very popular teaching method, we're going to critique this denominational use of this particular method. So when you run into this, which you will at some point, if it's not this specific handout or pamphlet, if it's not this specific thing, you will run into it because it's basically a way of teaching faith-only salvation. And if you talk with anybody in the religious world, work, school, or somewhere else, you're going to run into it somewhere, that you're saved by faith in Jesus alone, and at that point you're saved. You're going to run into it. So we have to understand and critique that. Now, when I use the word critique, sometimes that might come off as being negative. I'm not going to poke fun of any religious group or put them down or embarrass them in any kind of way. We're just simply going to examine what they've said, and it's not a whole lot. You can look back through those illustrations. It's just a little card. There's not a whole lot said there. We're going to take that, and we're going to critique that. We're going to compare that with what Paul actually says in the book of Romans. So that's one of our objectives this morning, because we run into this from time to time when we talk with others. The second thing I'd like to accomplish this morning is I'd like to teach us as brethren, as Christians, how to use the book of Romans alone. You don't have to turn anywhere else in your Bible. You can just use the book of Romans alone to teach someone the gospel. And I would challenge you to do that. Try to find someone. Try to set up a study. Try to set up a home study or a Bible study. And just say, you know, I'd like to read some passages with you from the book of Romans. Now, obviously, there are other places in the New Testament we could go to teach someone the gospel. But did you know that you could just stay in the book of Romans alone and teach someone how to be saved? And if you think about that a little bit, that is an interesting thing. Look with me at Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. To whom is this book written? To whom is the book of Romans written? Chapter 1, verse 7. It's written to the saints that are at Rome. Now, why in the world would Paul write a book to Christians? And in that book, he's going to tell Christians how to become Christians. Why would he do that? They're already Christians. You ever thought about that? In fact, every book that Paul wrote is written to Christians. Why would Paul write a book to Christians and he's going to put in there the plan of salvation on how to become a Christian? They're already Christians. You ever thought about that? Why this morning, if we're Christians here, for the most part, why would we need to be told the gospel plan of salvation? So that we can go out and learn how, in a systematic way, to tell others what we did. We know what we did. They're already Christians. They're already Christians. But when Paul lays this out in a systematic way, they can hear it. And they can put that together and they can go out and tell others that. And they can also better understand their own salvation. We know from chapter 6 and verse 1 that some of those Christians wanted to continue in sin. So they could better understand their own salvation and how they're supposed to be living. But they can also, in a systematic way, after hearing this book we call Romans, when the saints gathered together there at Rome and somebody read the whole letter, they can hear this whole thing and put that together and go tell others about that. And I hope that we will do that this morning. This is not this morning, brethren, simply an academic critique of what the denominations do. I hope that we would be encouraged ourselves just to take this material and talk with others about how to become a Christian. And if you want my notes at the end, you're certainly welcome to that. You can just jot down a few things in Romans to share with someone. Here's how you go from point A, being in sin, to being saved in Christ, point B. Here's how you do that. And we're just going to read through the book of Romans. You could do that at a lunch break at work. You could do that at a school break. You could do that with a neighbor around a coffee table. You just have someone over. Let me read through the book of Romans with you. And then our third objective is to keep in mind someone this morning who may need to be baptized into Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're lost in sin, you need to be on that Romans road to salvation. You need to get on that road. And I would encourage you to do that while you have an opportunity. We're not promised of another service. There's water here. We're going to get to baptism in a minute when we get to Romans 6, and we can bury you in water with Christ, and you can be raised a new creature like we sang just a moment ago. So let me encourage you to come and obey that gospel today. Now, when you look at this particular popular teaching that is out there, the first stop, sometimes the little card or the track will have step one or stop one because it's a road. Okay, so you stop alongside of the road. So stop one is usually Romans 3:23. And if you turn to Romans 3:23, it's a direct quote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's nothing taken out of context. That is absolutely true. All have sinned. In Romans chapter 1, Paul makes the argument that the Gentile world is living in sin. And in chapter 2, he makes the argument that the Jewish world is living in sin. And when he comes to chapter 3, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, if you're reading with someone, you don't have to go to other books of the Bible. If you're reading with someone starting in Romans, after a few introductory remarks in chapter 1, he lays out the theme of the book in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and that is the gospel is God's power to save. That's the theme of the book of Romans. The gospel, meaning good news about how that we can be saved from our sin through Jesus Christ, that is God's power. That's how he saves. Okay, so the theme is set forth. Now, after those introductory remarks, starting in chapter 1, verse 18 through 132, Paul says, the Gentile world is living in sin. In chapter 2, verses 1, all the way through chapter 2, the Jewish world is living in sin. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, all have sinned. Sometimes on the Roman road to salvation, verse 10 is quoted, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, and that's true. He has just set forth that point. All have sinned, whether you're Jew or Gentile. The second stop on the road is found from Romans 6 and verse 23, and there's nothing taken out of context. This is the truth. For the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. You and I, anyone who sins, sin is a violation of God's law. Anyone who sins is going to be spiritually separated from God. You're lost. I'm lost. So all have sinned. We have to understand that. In today's world, sin has fallen out of the vocabulary of many individuals. We don't talk about people sinning anymore. Everybody just lives their fun life. But all have sinned. Number two, we have to pay wages for that. And that is death, spiritual death. And that's very important to understand that. And then the third stop along the road in this Romans road to salvation with regard to the denominational presentation of it is we begin to see some hope and some light. And that is that God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we're beginning to read now in the book of Romans that we're not in this helpless and hopeless and hapless state. We can come out of that, and Jesus died so that we can come out of that. And so that's a very important principle. That's why we memorialize this morning the Lord's Supper. Jesus died for us. He gave himself, Titus 2. What a beautiful thought. It's easy to give other things, but to give yourself. Paul says to Titus, he gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's a very great thing that Christ did. So Jesus died on the cross for us. And then the fourth stop on the denominational version of the Romans road is to turn over to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Where the Apostle Paul says that in verse 9, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. So, you've got to understand that you are in sin. Number two, you've got to understand that the wages of sin is death. Number three, Christ died for you. And number four, you need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you need to be willing to confess that with your mouth. And then comes the end. And like I said before, sometimes it's five stops, sometimes it's seven stops, but that's only because they might add another scripture in here or there to make a point that has already been made. But at the end of it then, salvation in Christ brings us into a relationship of peace. And so one passage that is commonly quoted in this particular method of teaching is chapter 5 and verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're no longer under that death penalty. We are now having peace. How? Through Christ and by faith. So, this is a common teaching method. So the Roman road to salvation, according to The denominational teaching is simply this. Admit you're a sinner. Number two, understand that sinners deserve death. Number three, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Number four, accept Jesus as your Savior by faith. And number five, receive salvation from God. That's it. The Romans Road to Salvation. Many Baptist churches will teach this. Many community churches, Life Point teaches this, other places like that. That's very, very common. Now, I ask you this. If that's the Romans Road to Salvation, according to Paul, if they are accurately representing that, the way Paul taught that, then there would be nothing else in the book of Romans involving salvation. This material would have mentioned all the stops along the way. There would be no other stops. If it is accurately representing what God wants, right? That's just simple. But is that what you find when you open up the book of Romans? The book of Romans is a lot more lengthy. It's got a lot more material there. Would there be anything else in there that Paul talks about that is necessary for salvation? And the fact is, there is. When you look at this particular popular method, first of all, let me say again, and I mentioned this earlier, every stop that is mentioned, whether it's the tract or the pamphlet or the bookmark, every stop is absolutely scriptural. In fact, in some ways that it's presented, it's just the scriptures there. There's not even any commentary there. It's just the scriptures. They are all scriptural. And I don't know of any way in which on the card, for example, that they're even taken out of context. Now, how people explain those verses and things like that, yes. But just, they're just verses. And they're all accurate verses. However, and this is the key point, some stops have been left out. And that's what we've got to understand, and that's what we've got to help our friends to see. Some stops have been left out of the Romans Road to Salvation. It's incomplete. It's not that the scriptures are wrong. It's not that the scriptures maybe have even been taken out of context. It's just, it does not present the entire thing. And again, if you were going to Atlanta, you need to go all the way to Atlanta. And if you're going to tell someone that they can be saved from sin, you need to tell them the whole road. You need to explain the whole road to them. You don't tell someone how to get to Atlanta by simply telling them how to get down here to Pleasant View. Well, we're going to add to that maybe Nashville. Well, that's still not good enough. Well, I'll tell them how to get to Murfreesboro. You got to tell them how to get all the way to Atlanta. And there's some turns down there in Chattanooga that you got to get right. So if we're going to tell someone the Romans Road to Salvation, it makes sense that we would just simply tell them what Paul wrote. If we're going to take someone down the Romans Road to Salvation, we need to take them all the way. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time on this morning. What did Paul say? And I'm even fine with calling it the Romans Road. I think that that is a great way to describe it. The book of Romans is the Romans Road to Salvation. That's a great way to describe it. But we've got to be complete in our description of it. As brethren this morning, we've got to be able to explain these things to our friends and neighbors. As brethren this morning, we have to take this material to the lost. It's very important. They've been told to go to Atlanta without being told how to go all the way. And we've got to help our friends go all the way down that road to be completely saved. Otherwise, they're being told something and their hopes are being put in something that's not true. Their whole spiritual life is being told by the pastor or the reverend or the preacher or whoever's telling them that their whole spiritual lives are being put in this teaching lesson that is incomplete.
That's how serious this is.
Can you imagine if someone told you how to get healthy or how to fix someone, but they only told you part of it, and you thought you had the whole thing there, and then when you finally go to the doctor or someone who really knows what's going on, they say, well, what you were told was fine, but you're missing four steps. You'd be like, well wait a minute, somebody misled me. That's right. And that's what's going on all over the world. We all need to go down this road. But we need to go the full length to get what Christ has for us. So with that in mind, let's look at some other Bible passages in the book of Romans. So when you look at this well-known teaching tool, first of all, you find out that the stop, to borrow their language, the stop of hearing has been left out. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. The verse 9 and 10 is quoted where we need to believe and to confess. But if you keep reading in verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. That's because everybody has sinned. That was already made clear back in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So belief cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Hearing. We've got to hear the gospel message. And we've got to hear all of it. And notice in verse 16 that some people don't want to hear. This quotation from Isaiah is explaining that sometimes when the gospel message is preached, even in the Old Testament, some Jews back then did not want to hear it. We've got to hear. We've got to keep our ears open. That's a part of the Romans road to salvation. In fact, the Romans road that talks about believing in Jesus, how does that first come? Verse 17, it comes by hearing. Hearing has to come first before believing. Sometimes people will tell people in the religious world, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus, and they've never heard anything other than the person say, believe in Jesus. Well, what am I believing? I've got to hear the things that I need to believe. And that's contained in the New Testament, hearing. So, first of all, this particular stop has been left out. That is the importance of hearing all the gospel. I've got to hear that. But turn back with me to Romans chapter 2. Here's another stop that has been left out in the popular Romans road to salvation, and that is the stop of repentance. Back in chapter 2, when Paul is laying out the fact that all have sinned, as I said earlier in chapter 1, the Gentile world is living in sin, and he gives several examples of that. And then in chapter 2, the Jewish world is living in sin, and he's going to give examples of that as well. But in the process of explaining to the Jew that, yes, you're in sin as well, look at what Paul writes here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey in righteousness, shall wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respecter of persons with God. Everybody can be saved. Everybody is in sin. But everybody can be saved, but everybody has to obey the truth. But notice how it is, and we'll come back to that later, notice how the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Look at the very next verse. You can't have a hardened heart. We can't have a hardened heart. We have to have a heart that is willing to turn around, repent, to turn around and turn to the Lord. Paul is saying, Gentile world is in sin, Jewish world is in sin, but you can't just stay there in that hardened state. The goodness of God, by providing Christ on the cross and the gospel message and His own long suffering, all of that goodness should cause us to repent. That stop has been left off the Roman road to salvation. There, we didn't read anywhere earlier about repentance, did we? And yet, that has to take place. We've got to stop doing the sin. So hearing has been left out, and repentance has been left out. And then turn with me to chapter 6, and let's look at something else that has been left out. In other words, if you're going to tell someone the Roman road to salvation, you need to start reading in chapter 1 and not skip here and skip there and skip here and skip there, but start in chapter 1 and read all the way through chapter 16 to get Paul's Roman road to salvation. And when we do that, what do we find? We find some other things that must be done. Otherwise, we are being misled and we mislead others. Here's another stop on the Romans road to salvation that is left out in this popular denominational teaching, and that is baptism. Chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, and he's going to tell us when and where that happened. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul says that the way we get into Christ is we are baptized into Christ. There was nothing on those flyers earlier about baptism. That was completely left off. You're teaching someone the Roman road to salvation, and you're leaving off a critical stop. You've got to hear the gospel. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized into Christ. That's a part of the Romans road. And so we learn that that's when that old man is buried, verse 4, buried with him through baptism. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been to a funeral and then you went to the graveside service afterwards? Many of us have, very common. Have you ever seen, ever in your life, a live person buried? Have you ever seen a live person buried? Never. We always bury a dead person. Look at verse 4 again. We're dead. We've died with Christ. And then we are buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. The denominational teaching is this. You're alive in Christ by faith only, and then sometime later, again, various denominations, sometime later, you're baptized. Well, if you're alive in Christ and then sometime later you're buried, then you're burying a live person. No, you bury a dead person. So when we repent and we say, I no longer want that old man of sin, I want to die to that sin, then I'm dead to sin and then I'm buried. We bury dead people. We don't bury alive people. In the denominational teaching, you're alive in Christ, and then sometime later, when we gather some people together, then we will baptize you into Christ. No, they got it out of order. But notice how baptism is left off the Romans road to salvation. Remember earlier, we read about everybody's in sin and the wages of sin is death, right? Read that. And then Jesus came and died for sinners, and then we read about confess Jesus, and then we read about being at peace. Was there anything in the Romans Road about repentance or baptism? It's left off. And there's a reason for that. There are people in the denominational world that don't believe that those things are necessary. And then, while we're here in chapter 6, let me mention one other stop that is left off. And that is that when we come to Christ, having repented of our sins, and having confessed that He is the Christ, and we believe that, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and having been baptized into Christ, listen very carefully, and this is important for those of us this morning as members of the church, we have to continue living faithfully each and every day. That was left off, that teaching. We have to continue living faithfully each and every day. That's illustrated right here in chapter 6, in verse 1, for example. We can't continue living in sin. Verse 13, we have to present ourselves unto God as alive from the dead. Verse 18, we have to become servants of righteousness. You could turn over to chapter 8 and verse 4. We have to walk by the Spirit. You could turn over to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, all the various Christian duties. You see, if we're going to go down the Roman road to salvation, when you get to the end of the book of Romans, from chapter 12 through 16, it's all about Christian duties that must be engaged in. If we're going to take someone down that road, take them all the way. Read the whole book, at least, to be fair to Paul. And when you do that, you'll find places where Paul is telling those who are Christians who have been baptized into Christ, chapter 6, 3 and 4, in the rest of the chapter 6, he's telling them to be servants of righteousness and to live faithfully each and every day. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. This is one passage that is left off the Romans road to salvation. Many in the denominational world teach, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's not what Paul teaches on the Romans road to salvation. Look at Romans chapter 11. We don't have time this morning to read the entire context, but if you start reading about Romans 11, verse 15 and 16, Paul is going to use an illustration of a tree. And the tree is representative of salvation. And so branches, there's Jewish branches and there's Gentile branches on this tree. And the tree represents salvation. And so you need to be a branch. You need to be tied into this tree. And so he uses that as an illustration. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 11 with regard to the Gentiles who have been grafted into this tree of salvation, if you will. Romans 11, 22. Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Toward them that fell, severity, but toward thee, God's goodness. Look at this. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Look at that. That's not mentioned on the Romans road to salvation. I've got to stay faithful or I'm going to be cut off this tree. The reason that's left off is the denominational world often teaches once saved, always saved, and Paul doesn't teach that. He teaches you have to remain in his goodness. You have to keep being faithful to God. Otherwise, you will be cut off, removed from this tree of salvation. It's conditional. Salvation is conditioned. And it's conditioned upon continuing in God's goodness. We would say, obeying God. So faithful living after one becomes a Christian is taught all throughout the book of Romans. That's a part of the Romans road as well. So, let's move forward and then we'll close this morning. If someone were to hear me this morning, they might say some things, and I would say, we've got to teach all of it. So here it is, the Romans road according to Paul, not according to the church down the street that hands out the little flyer, but according to Paul. What did Paul say about those things that must be done? The gospel must be heard. Faith comes by hearing. And I must believe that good news. I must believe that I am a sinner. I must believe that Christ died for me. I must believe all those things that Christ wants me to do. I must repent of my sins. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. He's being patient with us, friends. He's being patient with you. Repent and change. Be willing to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And then live faithfully each and every day. That's the Romans' road to salvation. And you don't even have to go anywhere else in the New Testament to teach that. And so this morning, we could take the book of Romans, co-worker, classmate, neighbor, hopefully, just sit down and say, could we read a little bit of Romans now and then? And let's work through that. It's a great way. It's a great teaching tool. And what we're doing is we're taking people from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 16. Not just hitting here and there on those passages that can be twisted to mean sort of faith-only type of things, but all the way through. If you wrote a text or an email to someone, wouldn't it be fair that your entire text and email was represented? Wouldn't that be fair? You wouldn't want someone to take an email or a text of yours and just take a little bit here and a little bit there. You'd want them to take the whole thing to get the big picture. And that's what Paul would want us to do if we were teaching others the Romans road to salvation. Now, I could anticipate some possible objections to this. Number one, the denominational world would say something like this. Well, you're denying justification by faith. And I would say not at all. What I'm denying is justification by faith only. Paul doesn't teach that. Paul teaches justification by faith, but he doesn't teach justification by faith only. The word only has been inserted in later by man. In fact, when Paul teaches faith, let's look at what kind of faith Paul teaches. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Do you know that Paul begins and ends the book of Romans with obedient faith? Did you know that? Romans 1:5 and Romans 6:26, they act kind of like bookends. You know, back in my library, I have these bookends. It helps the books from falling all over the floor. You put a book in there and it keeps everything held together. 1:5 and 16:26 act like bookends. And what does Paul say at the very beginning of the book and at the very end of the book? Through whom, through Christ, we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith. Or obedience to the faith. Notice it's a faithful obedience. He closes the same way. Look in chapter 2 and verse 8. God is going to come and render vengeance on all who obey not the truth. This is not faith only. It's faith that obeys. Look at chapter 6 with me, if you will. Chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry, verse 17. But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Notice in verse 18, he says being made free from sin, but back up to the very previous verse, become obedient. It was the obedience that led to having been made free from sin. We're talking, brethren and friends, about an obedient faith that gets up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop living in sin. I'm going to confess Jesus as Lord. I'm going to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I'm going to get up and do something. I'm going to live faithfully after that. So we're not denying justification by faith. But we are denying justification by faith only because that the Scripture does not teach that. Now we could go to James 2, 24 through 26 and illustrate the same thing, that faith without works is dead. We could do that, but you can do that simply by staying in the book of Romans. It's a faith, not just some mental assent. It's a faith that obeys. It has to obey the truth, chapter 2 and verse 8. By the way, look at Romans 6:23, the often verse that is quoted, and this is quoted in a lot of the little handouts on the Roman road to salvation. You're attempting to earn your salvation. So if you have to be baptized, that's something you do. And so you're trying to earn your salvation. Not at all. Look at chapter 6 and verse 23. The free gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. You underscore that in your Bible. It's a gift. We do not earn it. It's a gift. But listen to me, friends. When God gives us a gift, you got to reach out and take it. And I find it interesting in verse 23 that salvation, eternal life, is called a gift. But back up just a few verses to verse 17, they had to become obedient from the heart to get that gift. In the very same chapter where gift is mentioned, obedience is mentioned. And that's what we've got to get our friends and neighbors to see. It is a gift. And when we obey from the heart, listen, it is no less a gift. It's still a gift. If I have a gift for you, and after services I say, I have a gift for you, I need you to come back to the office to get it. When you come back to the office, you have not earned it. It's still a gift. But I need you to come back to the office to get it. That's all it is. It's still a gift, and we don't earn anything. And in the very chapter, it's called a gift, Paul says, we are obedient from the heart in order to get that gift. So no, we're not attempting to do anything. I would never attempt to take away from Paul or add to Paul. We simply want to send people down that Romans road to salvation the right way and all the way. You're trying to make baptism necessary for salvation. No, I'm not. No. Paul makes it necessary. Jesus made it necessary in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized. Peter made it necessary in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. We're not making anything one way or the other. This is in the book of Romans. And it was Paul who said, we were buried therefore with him through baptism into death. It's very important that we do what Paul wrote and what Paul said. As we close this morning, we can stay within the book of Romans to teach someone how to be saved from sin. When we do that, however, we must give them the right directions and we must go all the way down that Roman road. I'm glad that people in the religious world have pointed out some of these well-known passages in Romans. Where they have failed is to give the complete picture. And we've got to add those stops in, if you will, if you want to call them stops. We've got to add those things in because they are there. And Paul places them there. He knows better than anybody the gospel plan of salvation. Do you need to travel down that road this morning? There may be someone here this morning that needs to travel down that road. Let me help you to do that. Let us help you to do that all the way. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. You can come all the way down that road. I would never send you part way down. I would never tell you something just part way. I want you to get all the way there. And I don't want to take away from what Paul wrote in any kind of way by highlighting faith verses or sin verses or Jesus dying on the cross verses. Those are great verses. Amen to all of those verses. But we've got to also put in those other things that are absolutely necessary. And for those of us here this morning who are members of the Lord's Church, number one, maybe we've learned something this morning, just a simple way to take a piece of paper and jot down some Romans passages to have a Bible study with someone else. I hope I can encourage that this morning. You're welcome to my notes if you want those. And also, as members of the Lord's body, Romans 11:22-23, let's continue in God's goodness each and every day so that we are not removed from that tree of salvation. We have to continue living faithfully each and every day. Your presence here this morning is a part of that. Is it part of that faithful living to come together to worship God and all those things that we are supposed to do each and every day? But if there's someone here this morning that you started down that road, you recognize, you know, I do have sin in my life. Maybe it was just one lie that I told my parents. I've got sin in my life. And you know, I believe that story about Jesus dying on the cross. And you're headed down that road. Let me help you to finish that all the way off. In just a moment, as we stand and sing the song of invitation, to step forward and confess before this great crowd that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, let me help you be baptized into Christ. Let's finish off the road. You're not all the way down yet. You've got a little bit ways to go. Let me help you to do that. If we can help you do that this morning, why don't you come as we stand?